MacCast, Monday, February 4th, 2013. Hey, Mac Geeks, it's time for your MacCast, the show for Mac Geeks by Mac Geeks. I'm Adam, and this is the show where we discuss all things Macintosh. How you doing? Welcome back to the MacCast. Well, I was very excited about the show that I was going to bring to you today. And I say was because it was something that I recorded at Macworld iWorld. I was invited as part of a group of podcasters to do a live show from the expo floor. And I think I had told you about it before I went and asked for a couple of you if you were going to be at the show to come on the show and we'd talk about your experiences with Apple and the Mac, and more importantly, about your experiences coming to Macworld and why you're at Macworld and what you enjoy about the show. And we did that, and it went off really, really well. And I recorded the audio from the show floor. Now, going into it, I think Chuck Joyner was the first one of our podcast troupe to go up and record, and he mentioned that he had difficulty plugging into the audio equipment there on the expo floor. And so we kind of worked something out. Dave Hamilton figured out how to do it and showed it to Katie Floyd and David Sparks, and we were able to kind of tap into the PA system, and everything sounded great on the show floor. There were no issues there whatsoever. I plugged in and I checked the recording levels on my digital audio recorder. Everything looked good. Everything sounded good. So we did the show. I hit record, figuring everything went just fine. Well, when I got back and I started listening back to the audio, I'm not sure what happened, particularly my microphone. There were two mics up on stage. My microphone in particular seemed to be a little hot. So I think maybe the settings just weren't set right, and we weren't in control of the rig that was set up. So I didn't really check over that. I just sort of listened, and I had pulled over the microphone that was closest to where I was plugging in. And of course, that was the other microphone, the one you'll hear the guests on. So the guest microphone's pretty good. My microphone, though, was a bit over-modulated. So I debated back and forth on whether or not I should do it because it's not up to my normal quality standards. But the content is really good. So I wanted to be able to share that information with you. I think it's important, and I tried to clean it up as best I could. I hope you find the audio to be okay, but I'm just going to warn you up front, it's not up to what I consider to be MacCast standards, but the content's good enough. I listen through it, and I can listen to it. It doesn't really bother me too much, but you'll just have to make the call on this audio. But it is a really great show, and I think you're really, really going to enjoy it. So we're going to get to that in just a minute. But before we get started, I have a few sponsors to thank. And since this is one long segment, I'm just going to run all the sponsors up front. Normally, we intersperse them throughout, but we're just going to do them all up front here. First sponsor I'd like to thank is Gazelle. You know, they are a great place to go if you want a new iPhone, you want a new iPad, you've got that old one lying around. You can get some cash for that. You can sell it. You can go to Gazelle, and they will give you cash you can use for your upgrade. And what I love about Gazelle is they make the process so simple. So you don't have to deal with classified ads. You don't have to deal with private sales or auction sites or anything like that. You just go to gazelle.com, G-A-Z-E-L-L-E.com. You tell them a little bit about the condition. You tell them what device that you have. Answer a few questions about condition. And then you get a risk-free offer for your gadgets right there on the website. You can lock that offer in for 30 days, and they'll even send you a box for your item and pay the shipping to send it in. So that couldn't be simpler. And once they receive your item, you get paid fast. They just process the item, do it quickly, and you can get paid by check or by PayPal. And in some cases, they'll even buy broken items. So if you have a broken item, you might even want to go on there and check and see what it's worth. All you have to do is go to gazelle.com now, and you can get an offer for your iPhone, your Android, your BlackBerry phone, or other Apple products. And do it today, because each day you wait, those gadgets will lose a little bit of value. So the sooner the better. Just take a minute, find out what it's worth, go to gazelle.com, and a big thanks to them for their support of the MacCast. I also want to take a minute and tell you about Citrix and a couple of their products. The first being GoToMeeting. You know, when I used to work in an office, nobody really liked going to meetings. And when you have to travel for those meetings, you have to do business travel. That's even less fun. And especially this time of year, the winter weather can cause flight delays. People get sick. Roads are closed. It's just a bunch of hassle. And that's why you need a product like GoToMeeting by Citrix. It's a fast, easy way to meet with your clients and your coworkers, and you do it online. You don't have to go anywhere, so it doesn't matter what the weather is like. And with GoToMeeting, they make it so simple to get connected, and I think that's key. You just click a link, you turn on the webcam, and instantly you're connected to your team, your partners, and you can do things like collaborate on documents in real time. You get to see each other in full HD video, and you can launch or join a meeting from anywhere, just using your computer, your smartphone, a tablet. You can even present from your iPad. So even if you can't make it into the office, you can stay in touch and you can keep productive. Now, many of you know I work for myself at home, so I love GoToMeeting because it makes it so easy to meet with my clients anywhere in the world. I have clients in Australia. I have clients in New York. I never have to hop a plane. I don't have to have that expense. And with the HD Faces feature, it's just like meeting with them in person. Plus, if I need to show them something, I can take control of their screen, I can present them a document, and it turns out to be much more efficient and much more productive. So what I want you to do is try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Don't wait. Use this special offer. Just visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use the promo code MACCAST. Remember, use the promo code MACCAST, M-A-C-C-A-S-T, to get your free 30-day trial of GoToMeeting. And really, when it comes to your business, what this is all about is effective communication. It's key to getting things done. And another area that Citrix can help out with is with ShareFile. ShareFile helps you deal with the problem of sharing documents. You know, doing things like sending emails with attachments that are too big and then they bounce back, that's not effective communication. That's a waste of your time. It's a waste of energy. Causes a lot of confusion. You're going back and forth. Hey, I sent that file. Did you get it? It's a hassle, right? You have other things you could do, though. You could drop files on different services and online boxes and stuff like that. But a lot of times, that access, it's not safe. It's not necessarily secure. You don't really know where it is. There's copies that are floating around out there. You don't want that. And ShareFile by Citrix, they understood those challenges. And they developed a product that is a better solution for sharing your business documents. There's millions of accountants and lawyers and other business professionals who rely on ShareFile. And what's cool about ShareFile, again, just like all the Citrix products, is it's easy for anyone to use. It allows you to send files of almost any size. You can track the progress of those files. You can get notifications automatically sent to you when those files are open, so you know who's accessing them and when. You can also control who has access to files using tools like password protection, so it's secure. And you can even sign and edit and work on files for better collaboration. Plus, ShareFile lets you access files from anywhere. You can do it on your laptop, your tablet, or your smartphone, so you can be totally mobile. And one of the things I really like about ShareFile is just how it integrates into your business. You can add branding to it. You can integrate it into your website. They have tools for doing that. You can also use it to allow your customers to upload files that go right into your ShareFile storage, all through a web interface, which that is really convenient. So you don't have to worry about them setting up an account on any other service. They tie right into your ShareFile account. It's really, really cool. And I have a special offer for you so you can try ShareFile for free. You can sign up for a free 30-day trial, no credit card required, so you have nothing to lose. Just go to ShareFile.com, click on the little microphone, and enter my promo code MACCAST. That's ShareFile.com, and enter the promo code MACCAST, and you'll be up and running. Really great services and products from Citrix, and I want to give a big thank you to them for their support of the MACCAST. And with that, let's not delay any longer. Let's just jump right into my live podcast session from Macworld iWorld 2013.
So we're going to get started here in a little minute. Just a little background. So I am a podcaster. My name's Adam Christensen. I do a show called The MacCast. How many people here are MacCast listeners, know about the show? How many people have never heard of me before and are wondering, what is this guy doing talking into a microphone? Well, hopefully we'll be able to introduce a couple of you to the show. What it is about 9 years ago, I found out about this thing called podcasting. How many people, well, a lot of these people know what podcasting is. Is there anybody here who doesn't know what a podcast is? Never heard of it? Never seen it in iTunes? How many of you have seen it in iTunes and never subscribed to one? Okay, so everybody here is a podcast listener? Okay, so we don't need to go into that. So a little bit of my background, just so you know who I am, and I am not just this random person talking to a microphone. So about 9 years ago, I found out about podcasting, and I went out and I wanted to find, because I'm an Apple and a Mac fan and have been for years, wanted to find a podcast, and at that time in 2004, there wasn't a whole lot of them. Actually, there was about zero of them. And so I thought, I had this wild, harebrained idea that maybe I could make one, and then 9 years later, here I am, and thousands of people all over the world listen to me talk every week, and they asked me if I'd come here and maybe do a live show. So we're going to do a live show. For those of you who aren't familiar with my show, the basis of my show, I've always been really active and involved in Mac user groups. How many people are in their local Mac user group? So a few. Those of you who aren't, I really encourage you, if you have one in your area, to go check it out. What it is it's a lot about what this show is about to me, which is all of us kind of coming together around, which seems odd, a company and products and stuff like that, but more it's about the community and sharing and learning and doing those sorts of things. So every week on my show, sort of my goal is to be able to bring that to people all over the world, this idea of we all have questions, we all have ideas, we all have thoughts. Some of us may or may not have people in our immediate family or immediate circles that share those passions. So you have to go out and sometimes find other like-minded people. And the internet's a great resource for that. Podcasts are a great resource for that. Your local Mac user group is an excellent resource for that because you can meet face-to-face. So I always say my show is more of a community show. It's best because I get feedback from the community and I'm able to interact with all these people that I normally wouldn't get to interact with. So when they asked me to come speak here, I decided that's what I wanted to do for my session. So we have about an hour of time. I asked a couple people from my audience to come here who have been to Macworld. We're going to find out if they're new to Macworld, if they've been coming before, sort of what their impressions are, and just get an idea of the community. Maybe a little bit about their background, too. And I might ask some of you if you're willing to maybe share some of the things you do with your Macs and why we're all so passionate about this. So it's really about this community that we're all in and a big reason about why we're here. So that's what it's going to be about, and I hope you enjoy it. So I was trying to debate, do I need to start my show the way I normally start my show?
Yes.
Hey, Mac Geeks, it's time for your MacCast, the show for Mac Geeks, by Mac Geeks. I'm Adam Christensen. Welcome to the podcast. And I think the first person I'm actually going to invite up to talk with me today is Tony. She's right here in the front row. She graciously agreed, so I've got a couple mics up here. And we're just going to talk about, let's start maybe, Tony, when you get sat down. And you might have to get a little close to that, so don't be afraid to adjust that. Get right up close to it. And so tell us a little bit about you. I mean, you're obviously at Macworld. This is your first Macworld, you were telling me?
This is my first Macworld.
Kind of closer?
Closer?
Yeah.
I'm all new to this.
And so how long have you been a Mac user?
I've been a Mac user about 9 years.
About 9 years.
Yeah.
So how did you get into it? Why are you a Mac user?
Well, I've been using computers more than that, but I made a big mistake way back when I asked someone, should I go PC or Mac? And they said, well, you're probably going to work in the office, so you should go PC. And I hated computers.
Uh-huh.
I just didn't get any further, just said, oh, I'll never get into this. And then I forget, oh, I know. I got a iPod. And that was my lead into getting a Mac computer.
How many other people had iPod as their lead into this whole community? Yeah.
Yeah.
How many people started out with a PC and realized, I really don't want to be here? I think a lot of us as well, yeah. So I think you have a very similar experience. So I'm curious if you had the other similar experience where it sort of snowballs. So you started out with an iPod.
Oh.
How many Mac products do you have and own now, or Apple products, I guess I should say,
because
we've expanded our universe.
I'm on my third Mac computer.
Your third Mac computer.
I got now a Nano.
Uh-huh.
I got a iPhone.
Don't be afraid to get a little bit closer to that mic.
I got an iPhone and, of course, an iPad.
An iPad. And you love them all.
Yes.
So you were saying that this is your first Macworld. So I'm curious for a lot of people. I mean, I started coming here when I started doing the podcast. So for me, a lot of it is about being able to come and meet with my fans, being able to reach out to people, experience the community. It's also a lot for me about trying to share the Macworld experience maybe with some of my audience who can't make the travel out. So I try and go around to vendors and find different stuff. Now, you're an end user, so what went into this? Why did you decide to come down to Macworld? What was the rationale behind that?
I live in San Francisco, but I was intimidated to come.
Mm-hmm.
It looked kind of like you got to be in a private club, especially when Apple was sponsoring it, and so I was intimidated.
Mm-hmm.
But this time around, with the pass and the free pass, and I do live here, it's like, go ahead.
Yeah. Do you think the change from Apple, you mentioned Apple being here and maybe that being even a little bit intimidating. It's funny because we talk a lot in the community that maybe Apple leaving was going to be a bad thing. So for you, maybe that was made it more accessible. Does this sort of switch to this, you know, they talk about iFan and making it more about the community. Did that make it more accessible for you then?
It did. Also, I'm kind of disappointed that I never went to one when it was sponsored by Apple. Kind of wanted to be near the stars.
when Apple was here. Well, there's still a lot of stars here. If you walk around, you never know who you might bump into.
And I just want to say, this is one for me right here. Adam, you've been a great podcaster, and I love hearing your podcast.
Oh, well, thank you. Very, very much appreciate that. So are you just doing the expo floor? Are you doing some of the sessions? Have you had a chance to attend some of those?
Been up on the second floor for the Mac Talks, but that's about it.
Yeah. So what do you think about that aspect of it?
It was really good to, rather than just hear something or see something on the internet, to see something live. You know, it's like this virtual world is not real until you actually are in the same space with it.
Yeah, and I think for me that is a big part of this, and I think it's so easy these days with the internet and things like podcasts and things like that to separate yourself through technology and not make that personal connection with people, and that's why I love an event like this or an opportunity like this, big reason why I come every year. So have you had a chance to walk around the show floor a little bit the last couple of days?
Back and forth.
what do you think about the mix of vendors? Are you finding cool stuff that maybe you didn't know about? Are you learning some things?
I didn't know there's so many cases in the world. It's just like, how do you make up your mind?
Yeah, well, do you think it helps? I mean, I think part of that making up your mind is, and another great thing about a show like this is you can come and touch and feel, and you can actually, you know, get an interaction with it. So many times you go to a Best Buy or a Fry's or something like that, right? And it's in its sealed plastic packaging, and you can't really get a good feel. So you either have to have somebody in the community you know and trust to give you some advice, or you have something like this where you can actually talk to the manufacturers and things like that.
Well, and that I did a couple times and made a couple comparisons, and that was really valuable.
Was there anything that stood out in your mind? Let me ask this. Do you buy anything yet?
A
couple of vendors sell things here.
It's not really computer. Well, it is in a way. I subscribe for my mother the New York Times.
Oh, cool.
I called many times, and they said they don't deliver to North Carolina. But when I was here, they said they did. And so I bought a subscription for my mother.
So you found something?
Yes.
So, yeah.
And got a little digital picture made by them.
And have you had a chance to just interact with the community in general, meet anybody maybe you didn't meet before? Or?
Not really.
Not yet.
I'm still new. You're one of my first tweaks.
I was your very first tweet? Well, I got you on Twitter. See, that happens.
Top three, yeah.
Well, I feel honored.
Yeah. And so I'm learning that whole world, yeah.
Well, cool. So you think you'll be back?
Definitely.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Tony. I appreciate it. It's very nice meeting you. Very nice meeting you. Tony. Rick, you want to come up? So, you know, that's the kind of thing I love about this show, is it just gives an opportunity for me to meet people like Tony and Rick here. So, Rick, I'm going to kind of start out with you the same kind of thing.
Yep.
So, how long have you been a Mac user, and sort of when did you get Apple user? I guess I have to remember to say Apple user versus Mac user, because some people now are just Apple users, use an iOS device and maybe not a Mac. So.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. I started with my first iPod. It was about 10 years ago.
There you go.
So it's been about 10 years. Bought my first Mac probably 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Was not on Macs primarily because of work. Now I use a Mac at work. I just don't tell the IT people. They have no idea. But I hope they're not listening.
So they really don't know at all.
They really have no idea.
Well, it's a Mac podcast. So they're probably not going to listen.
They probably aren't going to be listening, and they're certainly not here. So, yeah, they don't know. I just kind of... And, in fact, I've got a couple other people converted now. There's a little private group of us that, and I'm gone most time. I'm on the road a lot, so they have no idea.
Yeah. Do you think that'll ever change? I mean, is there a changing mentality? Do you have other devices at your office? I mean, are iPhones creeping in? Or
iPads? We were open to iPhones about, I had my own personal iPhone for a while, and then I think it'd probably been about 4 years ago that we got our first iPhones sneaking in. When the president got one, that opened the doors. And so there's quite a group of people, probably 30% to 40% that are on iPhones now.
Okay.
So it's a large organization, so a lot of iPhones. It may even be higher than that.
I'm curious. So the IT doesn't push back on that? I mean, they've been sort of forced by the president at this point.
Well, he left, but it's too much now. They can't stop it. The tide's on. They were big Black. You know, we were BlackBerry users for a long time. I had a BlackBerry for a long, long time. So I suspect there'll still be some pressure there, but no, it's not going to change now. It's too far in.
Yeah, cool. So you've been a Mac user now for about
5 years. I'm on my second Mac, and I have a Mac at work. So I've got my wife on a Mac now. So we're pretty Appleized.
And what I mean, I'm curious, what brought you into it? Why did you become a Mac user?
Was it podcasts, things I listen to, like your show? I knew a few people that had Macs before. I even knew people had Apple IIs, you know, years ago. I started to get my hands into the Apple, I guess I'll call it the Apple machine.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, once you start doing that, and then you just get a little taste, and the curiosity was up, so I bought one. It was a 13-inch MacBook Pro. And once you start, you know, you just, it's kind of like, wow, this is a whole different experience. Then you're in.
Now, I'm curious about, because I talk to people a lot about the transition. And so before you did it, you've been listening to podcasts, you've been hearing a lot about it and things like that. I often get people who have switched over or moved over and who said, you know, I was kind of always nervous because I didn't really understand it. I was afraid that the transition was going to be really hard. Did you have some of those reservations, and did you find out, or did the podcasting kind of stuff help?
Well, I wrote software for years, and I'm very comfortable with the environment. So for me, there was a little bit of nervousness, but I've never had a problem with technology, so I was very comfortable. For me, it just flowed, and I had no problem with the transition. There was probably a few days where the file system, I had to think through the file system a little bit, but once I got a handle on the file system, it was natural. And then I found that it was actually a lot easier because it's so seamless. There's so many things that I do in my daily work now that just are absolutely seamless, that I can just transition and move between devices. Everything's there. So I just love that. I never have had that before, and I certainly never had that in the PC world. So,
So something that, again, I kind of talked with Tony a little bit, and I'm going to ask you the same question in this transitioning, because I get it a lot with people who switch, is you kind of get one device, and then there's like this snowball effect, but it gets all the way to the point where, you know, 5 years ago you were a PC user, and now you're coming to Macworld. Are you local?
No, I'm from Ohio.
So, I mean, it seems like it goes really far, really fast, right? You kind of get absorbed in it. Was that something that surprised you? Are you surprised you're here?
I'm not surprised I'm here at all. I'm a total geek, so I tend to look for places where geeks congregate.
Yeah.
And it's natural for me to go there, so I'm not surprised. I've gone to CES before. This has kind of replaced CES for me. I get pretty bored with CES, so I don't find that here. That's kind of how I transition. This is not my first Macworld. I don't go to CES hardly ever anymore. I just come here.
Right.
And I do it on my own. It's not a company sponsored thing, you know. So my wife and I like to get away, and this is a good place to go.
Yeah. Do you think this thing that we were talking about here, like why I do my show and this sense of community that sort of is formed around Apple as the company and Mac products and their products and stuff like that. I've always been a Mac user, so I've always been absorbed in it. So I'm always curious to find out, like, Victor Cahiao from the Typical Mac User Podcast, who actually started out doing a podcast called the Typical PC User Podcast, he and I would have long conversations about this, and one of his big things with why he transitioned to the Mac or why he really loves Mac and Apple products now is this sense of community. Yeah. And he always felt like he never really had that on the PC side. Do you have a similar kind of perspective on that?
There is no question in my mind. There's something about other, you know, I find that I look for other Mac users, and the community where I'm at's not as popular as it might be some parts of the country, but it's become more so, and it definitely is a community that sucks you in. I mean, you just become part of the community very quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is a big, giant extension of that. So this is not your first Mac
No, world. No, I've been here before. I think this is... I think that they've made changes that continues to get better. I was never here when Apple was here. Mm-hmm. That was before my day, but, you know, I've been here before, and I find that every year it's getting to be even more so better. I think that transition was interesting, probably. I wasn't here, but
yeah,
I'm sure it was. But what they've established and built now, I really love, so... I'll be back next year. I noticed they moved it back a couple of days in the week, but I'm excited to be back every year until I can't make it.
So what are some of the things you enjoy most about coming to Macworld?
For me, it's a combination thing. I do enjoy seeing people that I meet on the internet.
Uh-huh.
I'm a big-time social media person, so I meet an awful lot of people. I enjoy that part. I really enjoy the tech talks. I spend more time probably in the tech talks than I do on the floor. Because most of the stuff on the floor I see or hear about through a podcast or someplace on the internet. But I really enjoy that part of it. I love that kind of information. So that's where I spend the bulk of my time.
All right. So since you've been going to the Tech Talks, I'm curious to ask you about those, and especially for those people who can't come out to a show like this or haven't come out to a show and been thinking, you know, what can I go, what can I get out of it? Is there something particular, either this year or last year, a talk that sticks in your mind as something that you came out and went, wow, I'm really glad, you know, I had an opportunity to listen to that?
It depends on where you're at, I think, in your Mac use. And, you know, I know people that are still learning a great deal that are not real techie, that Mac Tech Talks for them, some of the coming basic topics seems to be of real interest to them. For me, it's more about just new ideas, something maybe I haven't thought of before. I always pick up two or three apps that I hear about. I'm an appaholic.
I'm an appaholic too.
I think, you know, I'm on Apple and I like to watch how many apps people have. It makes me feel better to know that I'm not the worst at this because I'm a collector of apps. But I find that I go to those sessions, I pick up those little things. This year there was some additional sessions, you know, where they brought in, you know, stars in the movie world, so to speak, and things to talk. And that was just different because I just really enjoyed that. That was just fun to hear. It was more fun than it was the techie thing. So I like to hear a lot of people's workflows, how they use their Macs. I get a great deal, probably more than anything else, when I hear somebody else talk about their workflow. I love to listen to people discuss how they use Mac, how they use Apple products in their everyday life. And because I'll pick up little things that save me hours of time, you know, just something I hear at a place like this, and I apply it. Maybe I make a few tweaks to how I do it, and it saves me a lot of time.
Yeah, somebody said to me during this show, and I hadn't really thought about it before, but I think it rings true with just what you said, is that You know, there is, don't tell me what you use is as, you know, it's not as valuable to know what you use as it is how you use it.
I totally agree.
Yeah, and when you come to a place like this and you are able to go to a talk like that, that's the kind of thing that you're going to pick up and learn that you might not just know from reading a review. Like, this is a great app, but finding out how people are applying it and using it in their daily lives is something that, you know, through a user group, through a community, a podcast, or a show like this, is you can really get that experience and share that experience.
That's how I collect apps. I mean, the apps I collect, are I get them because I hear how somebody used them, and I want to see if I can use it in my workflow to do something like what they did.
Yeah. So you mentioned a little bit the show floor. You haven't had too much time to walk around yet.
I stayed around the show yesterday afternoon a little bit, today a little bit, saw some interesting things, bought a couple things. I have the iPhone 5 now, which I've had for several months, and I didn't have the other clip, you know, and I wanted to get a new clip. And I also collect mobile batteries for some reason. I do too.
Did you find a good one?
I did.
Tell me about it.
I've got it in my bag. I'll have to show it to you. And it's a HyperDrive right over here. And I just liked the way it looked. It was kind of cool looking. And so I bought two. So, you know, they probably put it out there because they heard I was coming.
I'm obsessed with milliamp hours now.
I do. I like
the bigger, the better. It has to still be small.
Well, this was the first time they had a small
lots
one.
Lots of juice, but tiny.
Yeah. These were 3,600. See, I even know exactly how much. They had a really big one that was about this big. And I have one that's really big, and I like it, and I carry it with me. I have it with me. It's square.
Right.
But I like the way this one looked, and I really do, you know, care about how they look. So so I bought it, and I've already discharged it completely. So
I think Mophie, and I don't think they're here, unfortunately.
No, they're not.
I think they have like a 14,000 milliamp hour one.
I have a 10,000 with me in my bag.
10,000. Oh, I got to look at that one, too.
It's square. It's really heavy. But I bought it right after there was the major Hurricane Sandy. And I got to thinking, we get a lot of tornadoes and a lot of bad weather, and the power will go out. So I thought, well, you know, I should buy a couple of these really hefty milliamp hour size, lots of milliamp hour size batteries, so that when the power goes out, I can keep my phone running.
Yeah.
Whether the towers are working or not, that's another whole deal, but yeah.
Did you get a chance to see the hydrogen, the fuel cell one
right over
here? Yeah, my FC. I interviewed those guys.
I'm curious to play with the idea. I don't have one, but yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, there's some cool
guys too, the transporter guys. This is really cool.
Yeah, there's some cool new technology. So that's another thing, you come out here, especially if you go out to the peripherals, to these side booths, you know, these little ones on the outside, and you can find some really cool, unique kind of things going on. And
that's the
kind of discovery that happens at a place like this that I don't know happens anywhere else. Because we do read about some of the bigger projects and things online, but there's always that guy that has that idea. He's in the back of his garage. It's like Steve and Steve, you know, back in the day. And they get a little booth at Macworld, and, you know, it's that little hidden gem that you find.
Well, and it's good for your own stuff, too, I think, because I take pictures of it, and then I put them somewhere where I put my creative store, because it just makes me think. It's good stuff.
Yeah, well, cool. Yep. So you already said you're going to be back. So.
Oh, yeah, I'll be back next year and the year after and the year after, unless I'm, like Ken Ray this year, sick with the flu.
Yeah, unfortunately.
And I won't be here, but I hope to be here every year.
Well, cool. Thanks, Rick.
Thank you.
All right. Keep
up the good work.
Gabe, come on up. We're going to have Gabe come up here now. Are other people here? I saw a lot of nodding heads. A lot of people here are also app collectors. Like, you have, like, a million folders and 500, 600 apps. I don't even know how many I have. Do you know how many you have, Rick? 570. I got to go look on my thing. I think I own more than that. 1,200, 1,000. I don't know. We just pick them up here and there. So, hey, Gabe, how you doing?
Good, good.
Nice to see you. Yeah. So, I guess we'll start off with the same question. How long have you been an Apple Mac user?
Like many other people, got in through the iPod and wasn't really a Mac user until probably about 7 years ago or so.
7 years ago. Wow, I got relatively new people, but 7 years is a long time.
It feels like a lot longer. Yeah.
And so what was your background before you switched, and what kind of caused you? You said the iPod made you make that transition, but what was the step up? Was it just simply, I got an iPod and I wanted to sync better, or I'm fed up with my Windows system and this looks like the better route to go?
Yeah, it may very well just been that iTunes on Windows is really bad. And I'm willing to make the architecture jump just to to think faster. It might have well just been that.
I have this conspiracy theory, and I think it's shared by some people, that Apple deliberately made sure that iTunes on Windows, it was there, but it was just not quite as good, right?
It's just usable enough where you know it could get better.
Do you share that conspiracy theory?
I don't know. I think maybe it was bad, and maybe they just didn't put effort into making it better. Maybe it's a halfway thing.
So do you remember what your first Mac was?
Yeah, it was actually a Mac Mini.
Yeah.
It was that first G4 Mac Mini, which I thought was genius because it was really the first low-price Mac where people who, like me, who have a monitor, who have a keyboard, have all their accessories. You just buy this little box, and before you know it, you're buying a MacBook Pro.
Yeah,
and
I think that was
a second MacBook Pro. And
so wait, so second. How many? Did you say already how many Macs you've owned over the years now?
Probably about five now. I'm
five
my
and
third
seven
MacBook
years.
Pro,
yeah.
And I've had a couple Mac Minis that.
And I'm assuming multiple iPods and iPhones,
absolutely.
And
yeah.
iPads and. That's another one of these phenomenons I don't think that you see happening on Windows. I haven't heard anybody who said, I have, 10 PCs and four Microsoft Surfaces or something like that.
Right, yeah. Even something like the Zune, which wasn't that bad. Somebody made one Zune, you know.
So is this your first Macworld?
It is my first Macworld.
Your first Macworld, huh?
Yeah.
And so why did you want to come to Macworld, do you think? What was the, I'm going to go this year.
Yeah, it's the first year that it's really convenient for me. I just moved to San Francisco in the past year.
Okay,
so right in my backyard, so why not? And just wanted to check it out.
Had you thought about it in the past?
I have. I mean, even just listening to your podcast or whatever, you virtually attend every year, right?
Yeah. Hopefully.
You get to hear about all the cool products, and you get to learn about all the neat software, and so you kind of almost feel like you've been there before.
Right. And so are you attending sessions, or are you just doing the expo floor?
Yeah. I've been jumping to sessions, and a lot of fun things going on.
So what kind of things are you into, or what sessions have you gone to, and was there one particularly for you that was like, yeah, this is why I want to come to Macworld, or I'm glad I came because of this?
Oddly enough, the one that has been the most fun was the programming and landing the Mars Science Laboratory one yesterday that NASA put on.
So NASA was here.
Yeah. So they discussed, it wasn't terribly Mac-centric, but fascinating nonetheless. Just went into detail about the Curiosity rover and some of the technical details behind the whole project and the team behind it.
So is that an area of interest for you, space and that, or just general tech? You like it's
I
tech,
think
space, it's,
ro- space, right?
It's robots, it's rovers. Yeah, I think so. I think there's a whole thing with nerds and anything that's autonomous. And
I mean, who of us didn't watch the
NASA, right?
Curiosity land on NASA TV, right? We're all like glued to our screens, and then I got to go to a session where the people that you saw are there talking to me, and you get to shake their hand, and you get to thank them, and that's cool.
Yeah, and that was another thing that we had been talking about recently. Again, with the whole transition of the show sort of changing its focus after Apple and Adobe and some of the bigger vendors kind of pulled back from the show, is I've been particularly impressed with how the show has grown in terms of the variety of topics and things that they're covering. There always was a good variety, but it has become more and more, I think, consumer-focused, and you can come out and see something like NASA, and maybe it's not directly Mac-related or Apple-related, but it's an experience that you can have, and it's technology-related. And they're doing more stuff with music and art, and I haven't had a chance. Has anybody here had a chance to see the iPhone? I'm really curious to see the iPhone movie stuff. Has anybody gone to see that? So I'm definitely going to go check that out, because that's something I've always, I think a lot of us always have this passion. I play around with iMovie all the time, and when I was a kid, we had video cameras. We even took, going back a little bit, a couple friends of mine and I, we would make movies in the summer, and all we had was we had two VCRs, and we would do this real crude cutting where we would, from one tape to the other, and one of us would be on one side and we'd pause and stop, and that's how because we didn't have a non-linear video editor. We didn't have computers. We had Apple IIs, right? We dreamed about getting like an Amiga, which we might be able to do it on, But so we did it that way, and for like our audio, we would plug into the left channel and do voiceover in left channel, and then plug a tape deck into the right channel. So I've always been fascinated with movies, and now you can make them on your phone. It's just unbelievable.
That yeah, really so. Does seem to be the focus of the show now, is a focus of building and creating.
Yeah.
It's not so much technology, it's about how do you want to make this song on your iPad, or people who want to focus on video and their iPhones, or some kind of weird gadget that you hook up to your iPad. You know, it's very much about building and creating, which is kind of the focus of the Mac anyway.
Yeah, there's a lot of music stuff, and I think the branch out into iOS has also kind of helped that out a lot. It's really expanded the kinds of applications that we're seeing, and into areas where I never thought I'd see booths like I was the what's the one with the chef. I'm blanking on their name now, and we did an interview with them, but they have chef sleeve. So they have these sleeves that they originally did so that when you're in the kitchen and you're using your iPad for your recipes and what have you, it doesn't get gunked up with, you know, oil or flour or what have you. And then now they've branched out into stands, and they had this really cool stand. I don't even cook. And I'm like, oh, that's really cool. It's like this stand, and you can chop, you know, vegetables on it, and you have your iPad set up there, and it's protected, and it was this really cool composite material. I even get into the materials, right? I think a lot of us, because we're Apple fans, we like the design of things. And it's great to be able to come here and talk to, I mean, you can literally go talk to the CEO, you can talk to the designer at these booths and say, how did you come up with that material? What are you doing? You get to learn and sort of live vicariously through them and learn this process of creation. And it could be music, it could be art, it could be product design. And I get a lot of that out of it. I don't know if you've had a chance to have that kind of experience.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it is. Blue is having a sale on their microphones over there, and I was kind of in the market to get a new USB microphone. So I dropped back over there and just chatted probably for a half hour with the Blue microphone guy, just about, you know, different things that they're working on. And you don't do that when you order from the website. You know, there's nobody to talk to. This is
another experience great. I thought about, because I often get people who will email me and they have suggestions for products, and they're like, how can I, you know, reach out and contact my favorite software developer? And I often tell them, well, just, you know, email them. You might be surprised. But I mean, what another great opportunity, a show like Macworld, where you can walk up to the booth and you can give your feedback directly. And we're in the type of community where they're gonna listen. They're not going to, you know, discount you and just sort of turn away from you. And, you know, that you'll find that they're really open. And I think that's unique. You know, I don't know if anybody that's even ever tried that in the PC world. Like, when I talk to people, it doesn't even come to their mind. So you almost want to ask, have you ever, you know, thought about that? And most of them don't even think about that.
Sure.
So it's something amazing, unique, and I think that I really cherish. So I'm going to ask you a little bit. So you walked around the show floor. You mentioned a couple things. Was there anything that maybe you saw that surprised you? Like, my thing was that chef thing. Also, the you know, talking to these bow blade guys. Have you seen this? I mean, it's a funky product, but it's one of those cool things where you get the backstory and you find out, oh yeah, this is kind of fun and cool. And where else are you going to see something like that?
It's fascinating, because making physical products is really hard, right? It's expensive, and you have to send weird designs off to China or whatever. And to know that somebody was so passionate about their idea to have a game controller for their iPhone, that they actually went through with it, and you get to meet these people, that's any kind of story that they have about the background of it is always fascinating.
Yeah, very, very cool. So was there any one little standout thing you think that you saw? I'm putting you on the spot, I know.
Yeah, not really. I mean, it's pretty much what I expected.
Yeah.
You know, you get overwhelmed by the amount of cases and stands and things like that.
You know, a lot of people say that, and I know there's a lot of that. I guess I would say you should have been here a few years ago. I think it's scaled back a little bit. We're seeing a little bit more on the Mac side. We were having a conversation earlier about that, and I think what the reality. I was on the British Tech podcast this morning live, and we were talking about, well, isn't it all just iPhone cases and iPads? And I said, well, you have to step back and really think about the product line, and you have to think about Apple as a company and how it's evolved. I mean, my show's called the MacCast, but really we talk probably a lot more about iOS devices and iPads. And so if you look and consider the proportions, it's probably very much proportionate to how Apple's product lineup is now. You know, 2/3 of their products aren't Mac products. So probably two-thirds of the things here you're going to see here at Macworld are likely not going to be Mac products, but there's still a healthy one-third that are. So, you know, I try and not let people discourage that, because a lot of people hear, oh, it's all cases and stuff like that, but it really isn't. There's really cool stuff here to come
really
see
nice
and experience.
Well, it's really nice to see some of the smaller developers of software that I use on a daily basis. You run into AgileBits and 1Password, and it's like, oh, I use that, and then BusyCal's right next to them, and it's, oh, I use that too. So it's
John,
neat to run into all the useful stuff that I love on a daily basis.
Well, very, very cool. And I'm assuming, since now you're local, this isn't going to be your last Macworld?
Yeah, I'll definitely be back. I mean, why not, right? It's a ton of fun.
Cool. Well, thanks, Gabe.
Hey, thank you.
All right, Mark, you're up next.
Hello, Adam.
Switcher, famous switcher Mark.
Oh, geez.
So
pressure.
I know a little bit about your backstory, but you wanna tell everybody how you became Switcher Mark, known to be Switcher Mark?
Okay. you're to blame, partially.
I'm to blame?
Yeah, yeah. So I made the switch from Windows machines to Apple machines in June of 2007. My first was iPod for Christmas in 2006, and I had my first iMac by June of 2007. That was the switch. Prior to being comfortable to make the purchase, I listened to you and Victor, particularly during your live show, and decided I wanted to make the switch. It was basically just, it's the revelation that everybody before me talked about, and I've heard millions of people talk about before, which is, you just start using it, and you go, wow, this is perfect, I should have been doing this all along, and it just fits with the way I work.
I never knew that computers didn't have to be hard and complicated and get in my way all the time.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and you know, now I'm, you know, two iMacs and a couple MacBooks, and it's just a snowball in 7 years.
And I always have to push out my pedigree, because you know, I did Windows Microsoft program C# programming for 6 years. A lot of people don't know that. I talk about it occasionally on the show. So you know, Windows is a thing and it has its applications. But people would always ask, well, you program Windows, you know, during your day job, but you're a Mac user at home. You know, why is that, or how are you comfortable on both? And I think Victor or somebody coined the term sliders. A lot of people would be what we call sliders. So you work on Windows at work and then your Mac at home. And it was just sort of the thing where you know, I tried really hard with Windows to see the value in it, but so often I would be battling the system rather than creating things. And you know, Gabe was talking about, you know, a big focus on this show is creating stuff. And when you're in that mode, when you're in this, I just want to make something, you don't want to be wrestling with technology, right? You just want to, I want to edit my movie, or I just want to listen to my music. I don't want to have to go through 23 steps to find the preference.
Right, and I didn't know the term when I selected my handle of Switcher Mark. I guess I'm really Slider Mark.
Are you still a slider?
I have to use Windows at work.
Yeah.
But at home and for my personal use, it's totally Apple, and I've got it's a lot of it because what I do with it at home is creative, photography and other things like that. So yeah.
Right. Well, so okay. So you do photography and stuff at home, right? I think I knew this about you. And that's not your day job.
No.
But, what kinds of apps and things like that do you use for photography on your Mac and you really like? And
when I'm doing heavy lifting, I used to use Aperture, and since Apple hasn't updated it in about 4 years, I switched to Lightroom this summer.
Okay.
And then I use a lot of the plugins that go with that. One of my favorite plugins are the folks that are here at Topaz Suite.
They make very nice stuff. So they're here?
They're here. They've been here every year that I've been. In fact, I bought the suite the first time I was here 4 years ago, and they're always here showing off their stuff.
So for those people who maybe don't know what Topaz is, what kinds of things does that software allow you to do?
It's a suite of different applications, little tiny applications that do different things, but it plugs into Photoshop or Lightroom or Aperture, and the one that people hear about the most is Topaz Adjust, and what it tends to do is adjusts the contrast, adjusts the exposure so that you get a sharper picture, better colors. It's the kind of things that you might have done a lot of work to get in Photoshop, but few little sliders in this, and it does the work for you.
And makes it easy for
it's
you to
It's real convenient,
do that.
Yeah. They have also have a very good program to denoise pictures.
And so you were able to actually come here and chat with them? And
yeah, I'd heard about it from podcasts or photographers, but I hadn't really seen it, hadn't worked with it. When I came here, saw the demonstration, they had a really good bundle price on it for the show. I don't remember what the price was, but it was a pretty significant deal, so I bought it and have used it ever since.
So I don't think this is your first Macworld, right? No. You've been to a couple?
This is my fourth Macworld. I came the first year that Apple wasn't here,
right?
So this is year number four, and I've, you know, I don't have a base of reference for what it was like when Apple was here, but just in the 4 years that I've been coming, I've seen a real shift, and frankly, I think a real big improvement from, I mean, the first time I was here, I was real excited to be here and had fun, but I think last year and this year are a much better show than the first 2 years I were here.
What do you think the kinds of things that are transitioning, like what do you feel transitioned to make it a better experience for you?
I think it was IDG recognizing that they needed to turn it into a fan show. It used to be a trade show, the vendor, and they relied on the vendors for their income. The vendors relied on the press coming to right. see Apple and then maybe spill down to see them. And I think that IDG realized that a lot of us come for the social event, come to be with other people, like-minded people, and that they needed to really turn it into a fan experience. I've never been to a Comic-Con, so I don't know if my analogy is right, but I sort of get the feeling that they need, you kind of treat this like a Comic-Con. That is, it's the fans that are going to drive this, so they need to keep doing things to make it exciting for the fans to come, and I think they've really done a good job of that, focusing on bringing people in, focusing on creators. Last year, they invited digital artists to submit artwork. I did that. I had a photograph displayed here. I have one this year again in the digital art gallery, and including users in the show. And that's
really
that's fun.
Engaging and involving the community.
Right.
Yeah, like I was saying earlier, I don't get a chance to go to a lot of the sessions, so it sounds like maybe you go to some of the sessions.
Have you noticed a
change in sort of that? It seems to me like it's branching out, like they're kind of expanding and doing more of that, you know, like I was saying, show me how to do stuff, I want to learn. And have you found those to be valuable, you're shaking your head a little bit?
Well, I'm shaking my head only because the first year I came, I paid extra money to go to a session, to go to the sessions. I only went to one.
Yeah.
Didn't find a lot of the other ones interesting. 2 years ago, because of that experience, 2 years ago, I didn't buy a pass to go to the sessions. And then last year, this year, I have the iFan pass. Much more affordable, much more accessible, and the variety is really good. And I find myself going to a lot of them and really enjoying them.
So you find you are getting the value out of that now.
I absolutely.
And you think that's some of that more shift to this community kind of focus? And
yes. Yes, I think it's because they've shifted to the focus of the kinds of things that we're using our computers for, and bringing in people to talk to us about that.
So walking the show floor. Have you noticed? It does seem a little more open. I think a couple of people commented it's a little more open. I actually kind of like it that way. Maybe, I don't know how it is in terms of the vendor mix, but again, I'm finding really neat stuff, you know, and it's nice to not be so kind of jammed up, I think. And so have you found some cool things?
Yeah, I think definitely they've opened up the space for the Mac apps. The last few years, that was all crammed in, and it was really hard to get in and talk to anybody, and they've spread that out and makes it much more easy to talk to people and see some stuff. I think the mix of vendors is much better than it was 4 years ago. 4 years ago, it really was just overwhelming with the number of cases and stuff, and I think here you've got a good mix. At this particular one, I was really interested in. There's two different vendors kind of competing in camera equipment. With gear that you plug into your DSLR that creates its own Wi-Fi network and sends a signal back to your iPad, and then you can control it from the iPad and have a lot more flexibility and control. Real fun, real interesting idea.
I'm not even aware of it. So what are do you remember the names of the products?
Yeah, actually, I made sure that I could answer that question. So
you came prepared.
HyperMac is doing one that's called Camerator.
Uh-huh.
And then there's a company that's doing it just there. That's what they do, and it's called Cam Ranger, and they're back here in the back of the hall.
So these are things that allow you to set up and so sort of remotely fire your digital SLR and
control
it.
Yeah, and it the Cam Ranger one, for instance, you can do touch focus, so you can use the iPad to do touch focus, change the exposure, change the ISO, that kind of thing. And they also give you a lot more flexibility. You can use them as an intervalometer to do time-lapse photography. Canon cameras, for instance, don't have that built in. So if I use this, I can use their app and their machine to do that.
You know, it's something that is amazing to me that I never would have thought, you know, when we first saw the iPhone and we first saw the iPad, and I'm curious to get your response on this or your take on this, is that I never imagined the kinds of applications. So when Steve introduced it, you know, the original iPhone, and I guess maybe this is because there wasn't apps at that time, but, you know, it was like, it's a phone, it's an internet communicator, so you can browse the web, you can get your email, you can use it as a phone. I forget the other thing that he said it was. It was like four things in one, right? A media device or right. Watching and movies. And so I thought, oh, that's what this thing is. And then sort of through the genesis of apps and stuff like that, what amazes me, and I think you really see at the show in the variety of booths, is how personal these devices become. Like you, it sounds like you use a lot for photography.
Yeah.
You know, I'm interested in programming apps and apps for you doing my research for my show and note-taking and stuff like that. And I don't know why that surprises me in this kind of device, because it's a computer and we've always done that with our computers, but I never really thought about iOS devices in that capacity. But now that we have the iPad, I'm seeing more and more of that. And then as these accessories come on board, you know, it's just like expanding, and it's kind of mind-blowing to kind of see the genesis over the years, like coming in 4 years, right, how that has changed. I don't know. Have you noticed that kind of transition?
Do you think it's the extreme portability of these things? And I'll think about it in photography. In fact, and I just came, when I came down here, I was in a session. John Carlson, who's an author, a photographer, was doing a session on iPad for photographers.
Right.
And he was talking about the different ways that photographers can use iPads. But sort of the central theme was, it's with you while you're doing your photography. So instead of taking my camera out in the field, filling up a card, then going back to my house, emptying the card onto my computer, doing the processing, etc., there's a bunch of different things that I can do instantly, right away, take the iPad with me, look at the pictures, edit the pictures, tether it, whatever, share the pictures out immediately, whatever. But the idea of that extreme portability, we're doing the same things that we were doing with our computers, but it's a phone, so it's in our pocket all the time. It's a light, easy portable iPad, so I can integrate it into my photography or the artwork that we do. And I think it's that, and then having the flexibility of the apps, that just has changed the way we compute.
Yeah, it's this computer that's always kind of with you, right? So
yeah,
you can always do what you want to do at the moment you have that idea or that creative spark. And you can kind of start to do it all, and the more it evolves and the more that these companies get innovative. I'm also, another thing that I'm just always amazed with is the amount of ingenuity that goes into some of these products and the ideas that people come up with. You know, I'm a big fan of the Olo Clip. I had the original Olo Clip, and I knew they were doing this case, and I thought, okay, great, it's going to be a case, and it's going to mount to a tripod, and it's going to have some photo-centric features. Anybody who doesn't know the Olo Clip, it's this little lens system that on your phone slides onto the corner. And about one of the biggest complaints about it was, well, you can't really use a case, because if you have a case, it won't slide on. So they developed a case, and it has a little thing on the corner now that rotates out of the way. But they were smart enough to design, and I always forget that I can use the button on my phone to take a picture, like a shutter. And so when the thing flips back so that it exposes the area where you can attach the Olo Clip, it turns it into actually a bigger physical shutter. So you push on the top of the thing, you got a nice button you can rest your finger on, and it's mechanical, it just pushes down on the physical button. But I thought, wow, that's just amazing. Like, who would think of that?
But
they do. It's like epiphany moments. Like, wow, I wish I was that smart.
And that's the fun thing about coming to Macworld too, is to walk around and see there. I mean, there's some crazy things here, but you see some really innovative ideas, and then you also talk to people. I don't know how many times I've walked up to a booth, saw the product, and thought, well, what would you ever use that for?
Right.
But the person standing next to you says, oh, well, I'd use it for this, 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 and it...
That's,
you're right. I never would have thought of that. You
know? Yeah, that's that whole don't tell me what it is, show me why you use it or how you use it kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that's the amazing thing coming to an event like this that I think sometimes you miss when you're reading a press release or an article like we've been talking about.
Right, yeah.
Oh, very cool. I'm assuming you're continuing to come.
As long as I can.
Macworld, yeah.
I was... You know, I might have a conflict next year. We'll see. But
well, do you have anything you would tell somebody who was on the fence? Because I think we've all been there, right? I mean, it's not, depending on where you're coming from, it's maybe not cheap. It's maybe not, you know, you think, oh, it's too expensive, or maybe there's not going to be something of value to me. Do you have anything you'd say to somebody, like, you know, especially if they're the type of person who's, if you're really into this community and you're into this technology, I think, if you've ever even had an inkling, yes, I think I'd like to go to Macworld, I think you kind of, if you can anyway swing it, you owe yourself to at least come once and experience it.
Yeah, I don't think that I can tell somebody who doesn't have a strong interest either in the community or the product
right.
why they should
yeah,
be here.
Yeah, and I don't think you would either.
But I, people
that, about those people who are on the fence? They're like,
people that listen
to
this podcast, for instance, okay? They know that there's this Apple community, and they know your name or maybe some of the other podcaster names or the writers or whatever. And for me, for instance, that was the gateway, and then I started communicating on Twitter or whatever with other people that are like-minded and people that actually started to feel like friends to me. So you come here, and you start meeting people face-to-face, and you see them year-to-year, and you talk through the year, but, you know, you sit down to dinner and say, did you see that booth where they did the whatever? It's those conversations and that generation of how the community generates along and evolves along, and it's really rewarding.
Yeah, and you literally can make some lifelong friends, and maybe you don't see each other all the time. My wife and I always have this argument, you know, like who is technically a friend, but I think that's anybody that you share ideas and passion with, and even if you only see them once in a while, you know, I have good friends from high school that I only see a couple times a year, but there's still that connection the next time you see them, and it's like starting right from that point. And I have so many people that through Macworld, those are my Macworld friends, and I love coming to see them every year.
Yeah, absolutely.
And get to hang out, even if it's for a brief moment.
Yeah, I absolutely have people that, whatever that definition of friend is, I absolutely consider them to be friends of mine, and it's been because I met them online or listened to them as a podcaster, but then came here, met them, had a chance to sit down and you know, have dinner or something, and it's wonderful.
Yeah, it's a really great experience. So I would encourage anybody, if you've ever thought about it, and if that's your mentality, it's like, I think I'd really like to go to Macworld. Just give it a thought, and hopefully we, you know, explain some of the reasons why we like this show, why we like this community, and why it might be worth making the trip out. So
yeah.
Thanks, Mark and Tony and Gabe and Rick, and we appreciate all you coming on. And that's the show. I'm Adam Christensen from the MacCast. If you want to follow me or check out the show, it's at MacCast.com. So thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Adam.
So there you go. The MacCast live from the show floor, from the expo floor at Macworld iWorld 2013. I hope you enjoyed that despite the slight audio issues that were in there. I think there was some great content and information shared. I know I got a lot out of it. I hope you did too. I'm also going to be bringing you additional coverage from Macworld iWorld. I have interviews with a number of really great companies. Look for that to be coming out in the next week or so, and that will hit your feeds. Before I leave you, I do want to take a quick moment and thank a number of the companies that make this show possible. Circus Ponies, makers of Notebook. You can check out their software as well as get free trials over at circusponies.com. Smile, they make text expander, PDF pen, disc label, also PDF pen for iPhone and iPad, as well as text expander touch. You can check out all their software, get more information and details as well as trials over at smilesoftware.com. GoToMeeting by Citrix. Try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use the promo code MACCAST. Gazelle, the fast and simple way to sell your used iPhones, iPad, MacBooks, and other smartphones. Find out what your gadget is worth at gazelle.com. Squarespace, if you're looking to build a great website in minutes, not hours or days, you can do that with Squarespace, and you can try it for free. Just go to squarespace.com/maccast to sign up now. And when you make your purchase, you can get 10% off when you enter the offer code MacCast2. And ShareFile by Citrix. Take all the hassle out of sharing and sending your business files via old methods like email attachments and FTP with ShareFile. Try it risk-free for 30 days. Just go to ShareFile.com, click on the radio microphone, and enter my offer code MACCAST. That's M-A-C-C-A-S-T. And a big thank you to all of my sponsors for their support of the show. Big thanks to you for listening and your support. If you have feedback for me, a comment, a question, something you'd like to hear covered on a future episode, you can send your audio comments and your emails to maccast@gmail.com. You can also call in on our listener hotline. That's at 281-622-4269, 281-MAC-IM-9. Leave voicemail there. You can also leave voicemail on Skype. The Skype address is the MacCast. And if you need show notes or more information on the show, you can get that at maccast.com. Be sure to check out the forum while you're there at forum.maccast.com. And if you'd like to follow me online, you can find me on Twitter, twitter.com/maccast, or on the MacCast Facebook page at facebook.com/themaccast. But that's going to do it for today. Until next time, I will talk to you all again real soon.